Good morning, everybody. My name is Tony Giddens, Director of the LSE. It's my pleasure to welcome you all this morning, and particularly to welcome our distinguished guest, the Bosnian Prime Minister. Yes. Sorry. I've been at the LSE for 5 1/4 years now. This is the biggest mistake that I've ever made. Let me now welcome the Serbian Prime Minister in his place. Dr. Djindjic graduated from Belgrade University's Faculty of Philosophy in 1974. He obtained his PhD in philosophy from the University of Konstanz in Germany under the mentorship of Jürgen Habermas, one of the world's most distinguished philosophers, who is also, as we were discussing, a personal friend of mine and who I've worked with very often. Dr. Djindjic is well known for a range of books, including Serbia, Neither East Nor West, Subjectivity and Violence, and Yugoslavia, the Partly Formed State. As a student in Tito's Yugoslavia, Dr. Djindjic took an active role in the opposition movement. He was arrested and sentenced to a year's imprisonment for attempting to set up an autonomous student organization with fellow student leaders from Zagreb and Ljubljana. He teamed up with a prominent Serbian dissident writers and intellectuals to found the Democratic Party in 1989. A year later, at the annual convention of the Democratic Party, he was elected president of the executive committee. He was elected president of the Democratic Party in January 1994. In June 2000, he became coordinator of the Alliance for Change, the largest democratic coalition in Serbia. In August 2000, he became the DOS pre-election campaign coordinator. He formally became prime minister on 25 January 2001. Just before he speaks, I'll try and at least get something right on this introduction. I'd just like to mention that at the LSE, we've got a new and innovative Balkan program, which has been sponsored by a reasonably prominent LSE alumnus, George Soros. The aim of the program is to improve the research and teaching capacities of Balkan universities. The project will bring 30 junior and mid-level academic staff to the LSE for successive periods of 3 months over a three-year period to participate in a research program and improve teaching methods and curricula. The countries and republics involved in the program are Serbia, of course, Albania, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Croatia, Macedonia, Montenegro, and Kosovo. If the program is successful, as we expect it to be, we hope to expand it radically over the next 3 or 4 years. So in spite of the ineptness of its director, you can see that the LSE is committed to expanding its interests in the Balkans. And Mary Kaldor, who is a very prominent writer and professor at the LSE, will be one of the main leaders of this program. The title of Dr. Djindjic's talk today is on the screen up there, Serbia on the path to Europe. Please, in spite of my embarrassment, give an extremely warm LSE welcome.
Thank you. It's a real honor for me to have the opportunity to speak to you today. I will try to be very briefly. I will try not to have a speech, to give you opportunity to ask. And I think this most interesting part of our discussion will be discussion between you and me. But I will make few general remarks on the issue. And I think you expect to have here nice discussion about a very nice subject, that is the way of Serbia to Europe, democratization, reforms, and such details. But and of course you expect that I will speak about our problems and about your support, European support, to resolve our problem. But reality is not so nice. And I, since we have not so much time to discuss all the issues, I will try to focus on very, very a few important issues. And I will start not with our problems, but with your problems, with European problems in Balkan. And I'm a realistic person, and I think we, as people in Serbia, can expect from Europe real support only if through this support Europe can resolve its our problems. If not, it will be not so enthusiastic support. And Europe does have real problems in Balkans, and the first problem is that Europe doesn't understand that it has real problems in Balkans. And I am sure if I would not mention one issue, perhaps no one would raise this question. And that is the fact that European countries have about 100,000 citizens in Balkans, 50,000 soldiers in Bosnia, and between 30 and 50,000 soldiers in Kosovo. And I had discussions in the last months with some European politicians, and no one mentioned that. The question was about aid, about stability, about strategy, Kosovo, elections, perspective, but they don't want to realize that they have a real problem, namely a lot of people, a lot of soldiers in this area. And if you, as people in office, if you would ask about money, what is the mainly issue in office, you would estimate that this 100,000 people in Bosnia and Kosovo costs about $2 to $3 billion annually. 100,000 each, $2,000 monthly, $3,000 monthly. It makes about $2.5 or $3 billion annually. 10% of that amount would be enough for Serbia to make this period of time for these troops staying in region years shorter. But we have problems to link these two issues. One is this military presence, and second is the costs to prevent further crisis, to investment in democratic structures, in democratic forces in the region, not because of humanity, not because of ideology, because of self-interest of European countries, because of money, to spend money by investing smaller amounts now and saving these huge amounts of money in Balkans. Second problem, maybe bigger than this first problem, is no one in Europe has exit strategy. Or if you know this exit strategy, please tell me. What should be situation? What should the situation in Bosnia looks like that the European Community and NATO would decide to go out of Bosnia? Who knows that? Which are the criteria? How will we develop the situation in Kosovo? What is the solution for Kosovo? How many years will we wait to have this solution? Who knows that? Some people say, okay, we don't have a clear solution now, but we know Kosovo will be independent in 2, 3, 4 years. It will be fait accompli, fact, And all people will have to recognize that, because that is reality, and that will be a solution. Wrong. It is more problem than solution. We have high risk that this kind of solution will cause chain reaction. Because we will have, in this case, two Albanian states. After 1 or 2 years, three Albanian states. Because part of Macedonia would split and will become third Albanian state. Maybe interesting perspective to deal with three states, small states with same nationality in this very, very, very unstable part of Balkan. But it would set some kind of standards. And who can expect from people in Bosnia, from nations in Bosnia, to stay in this multi-ethnic state if they see the result 100 kilometers further, that one nation committed to have national state achieved that goal? Why should Serbs, Croats stay in this Bosnian state and not to try with the same tools, with the same commitment, to create their own national state? And what with Muslims in Serbia? What with other national groups in this region? It means this independent Kosovo as a strategy is maybe simple, interesting, but with huge and dangerous consequences. And my first message is to deal with Balkan issues, to be involved, very active in Balkan issues, is in highest European interest. If the European politicians don't understand that, they make huge mistake. What is the exit strategy? How to resolve this mentioned problem? I will not speak about details, about concepts for Bosnia or Kosovo. I will say the first very important decision would be to decide to have strategy, to decide to focus on the forces, constructive forces in the region, and to try to develop common strategy, European Balkan strategy. And if I ask about exit strategy, I think the best exit strategy for Balkan is to prepare Balkan to enter to Europe. What is exit for Europe is entrance for Balkan. And we can meet each other on the halfway. As I heard yesterday, the results from Paris first round elections, I thought the Europe is moving towards Balkan. Maybe we will meet earlier than expected in Balkans. Yes, and that is my first message, is for you, for public opinion in these countries, to make pressure on governments to speak about costs of Balkan politics. Who pays these costs for these people in these 100,000 soldiers? Taxpayers. Why should they pay that instead of to invest in lasting peace? Do we enough to prepare this lasting peace? Or do we just wait to have this peace through years? And what will happen after these years? If we don't prepare a clear strategy, after a few years, we will have the same situation as now, but with less opportunities and chances to have good result. And second message is the European countries should accept us as equal partners to discuss this strategy with us. We can deliver something in this region. And it is not it was not done enough in the past. If I mention, for example, this Rambouillet Agreement, few years ago, with this Rambouillet Agreement, with failings in this Rambouillet Agreement, started the war in Kosovo. We, as democratic opposition in Serbia, saw this agreement first time in internet. No one from European democratic governments took initiative to explain to us what is the substance of this agreement, and we didn't have chance as democratic forces in Serbia to explain to the people, to prepare the people for this kind of agreement. And I think the situation is now is a little bit better, but me as Prime Minister of Serbia, I have opportunity and I have a real chance to be involved in issues of Kosovo less than Prime Minister of Japan. He has some soldiers there, and he can visit Kosovo and discuss with people in Kosovo about how the things are going on in Kosovo. The former administrator in Kosovo, Hekerup, rejected two times my request to visit Kosovo, and I was prime minister of Serbia. I think that is not the right way to resolve the problems. That's first part of my short explanation. I don't think that European countries take very seriously the problem of Balkans. I think they are damaging their interests in Europe by doing that. I think they should confess that they don't have strategy, and they should have strategy, exit strategy for these countries from Balkan, and entrance strategy for Balkans to Europe. Second question is how to do that. And I think the best way is to focus on most advanced democratic forces in the region and try to make them stronger, and then to try to accelerate this European integration. And I think because of I'm here and not a prime minister from Bulgaria, Romania, or Macedonia, because I'm here, I think Serbia is most advanced country in this sense of democratic energy. I don't speak about reality in the sense of GDP or industrial sector, real economy. Since you learn economy here, we can speak about economy also. But I think what matters is energy. It's energy to move this reality. If you are speaking about normal speed of integration, we would need 50 years to reach the level of 1990 in Serbia. If it would grow 5% annually, since we lost 60% of GDP in the last 10 years, we will need 25 years to reach this level from 1990, and the region will go further in these 25 years, and then we will need 25 years more, and that is endless. It means we need energy, we need innovative politics, and we need speed. And we need support from European side for that speed, and not just to be not just to have normal daily management, business as usual. And I will have a meeting today with your prime minister, and I will ask him to support accelerated way Serbians and Yugoslavians to European Union. We want to have in this year agreement about stabilization and association. And this agreement means just to have conditions, criteria we should fulfill. Nothing more. We want to have criteria. In Serbia, we want to have requests, tasks, and European countries should measure our efforts, but concrete, on the basis of these criteria. And we hope to fulfill these criteria and to move all region closer to Europe. And if we make mistake and take this existing current stability for granted in Balkans, we made mistake. There are many sources of destabilization and disintegration in Balkans, and it is huge effort and huge result to keep this under control. It is not just a few years of war and then peace, 100 years of peace. It is 100 years of wars and then few years of peace. And all reforms in this region failed in the last 200 years. We are the first generation with a chance to succeed by doing reforms. And that is not usual. It is nothing like daily business. We need, we need a focused strategy on very unique case of Balkan region, 200 years between a dictatorship and anarchy, wars and dictators, and then first time in the history, opportunity to be stable through democracy. Democracy in the past was anarchy, civil wars, and then functional need for dictatorship. And Milosevic wasn't just dictator, bad person who abused power. He was answer on this mad situation, because if you have disintegration, if you have all kinds of conflicts, you need dictators. Tito was dictator before, King Alexander was before, we have Turks before, 600 years of undemocratic government caused partly by very disintegrating circumstances and very, very, very difficult situation. Means we have to be very careful and try to use this momentum not to destabilize this region, but to help the people who are working on to stabilize it. And we are speaking about transition. Of course, that is mainstream in the region. But if we are speaking about transition in Serbia, that is several transitions in the same time. In each of these transitions, we have very deeply rooted problems and risks. We have a constitutional problem with Montenegro, Serbia-Montenegro. Fortunately, we resolved that problem. My view is that it was a very good solution. It was realistically solution. We tend, as people in Balkans, to have big ideas. And the people are, of course, we are not so able to manage the expectations. And by producing big ideas, the people then are disappointed not to reach these big ideas in the reality. And we missed opportunity in the past to have real solutions because of big ideas. First time we have not big idea, we have small idea. We have idea based on the reality. And I'm sure we can develop a better future starting with this small idea for relationship between Montenegro and Serbia. But in this solution, we have problem, of course. Many people are disappointed. They can say that it's not federation, that it's not the state. That is some kind of contract between two states, but nobody knows what the substance is. We have to explain to the people that it is better to have something what is real than to have something what is not real. Second problem is this constitutional reform in Serbia itself. We have Kosovo as unresolved problem. How to design constitution without to know what is the final status of part of territory? We have a problem of regionalism in Serbia. How to find the right balance between democracy and decentralization, local communities and autonomy. We had in the past stability based on undemocratic centralization. Now, first time, we should check stability based on democratic institutions. It will take time and provoke very, very hot discussions in the next few months by defining how the Serbian, democratic Serbia constitution should look like. Third problem is the regional order. We have two or three unfinished state or nations, or I don't know how to say it. Bosnia and Herzegovina, Macedonia, Kosovo. Should there be regional European regions, some kind of multi-ethnical state, national states? Will the majority in these states accept that? What should we have as further regional order in this part of Europe? Then we have this package of transitions in Serbia in itself, in sense of transition from agrarian to industrial and post-industrial economy, sense of local and isolated to global economy, sense from industry-based to knowledge-based economy. We have, after 10 years of isolation and sanctions, we have GDP per capita less than $1,300 annually. And we have a kind of middle class in Serbia expecting services from state, from government, measured on the level of $4,000 per capita. Because these people, and that is our advantage, that we have people who have expectations and standards which are European. Iraq has $2,400 GDP. And to have two times less than Iraq is not very, 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 very good. But it is what is good is that the people don't accept it. in the heads and in the minds of the people via European society. But not to lose this support, not to lose this enthusiasm. We have to deliver something in short term of time. And a year or 2 years before, as we discussed that with European leaders, they developed this Pact for Stability as kind to deliver something from European side to overbridge this economic crisis and transitional period. And it was a great idea, but it didn't work. The idea was to build infrastructure in the region, not to give money to governments. And I don't ask for money for government. I ask for structural support for the reforms in the region, to build the infrastructure, to connect all these countries, to give the sense of solidarity for the people in Macedonia, in Bulgaria, in Serbia, that they are part of European family. And I don't know how high is this sentiment now in these countries. We have one good news and one bad news regarding that. Good news is that the first time in the history we have in this region democratically elected governments, starting with reforms. Bad news that they are replaced in the last 2 years in all these countries through elections. Romania, Bulgaria, now Hungary, Bosnia, Macedonia, Albania. It means this momentum of movement and these pro-European forces doing reform business very well lost elections. And it is not so easy to keep this energy for changes in these countries through years very high. We need some injections. We need some new fresh energy. And I expect from European public opinion, from European politics, to send us a few strong messages. And on the political level, that is the message about to be ready to accelerate this process of integration, to have a very clear and concrete strategy for Balkan and for each country, to support concrete these reform movements, people, governments who can accelerate this process. Second, on economic level, to estimate the costs and benefits, to say we will invest now in infrastructure, in these big projects, to increase the attraction of Europe to these people, better than instead of that to pay 10 years soldiers in Bosnia, Kosovo, and elsewhere. I think if we are doing in this way, we can achieve a huge result. I think cooperating on this issue, we can achieve a unique result in the history. And I will repeat and finish, I hope, that we are a generation with a unique opportunity to resolve historical problem of Balkans. And then Le Pen would not have chance to go anyway, because Balkan would not exist as Balkan. And he must stay in French then. Okay, thank you.
We've got about 10 minutes or so for questions, so I invite anyone.
I think more.
Maybe more?
Half hour.
Half hour?
Yes.
Half hour, whatever you say. there should be roving microphones around the room, so please, anyone wants to speak, please wait for the microphone to come, and there should be a microphone upstairs as well as downstairs.
Maybe you should collect some questions and then I answer.
Sure. Should we collect three or four questions? Yeah. Do you want to pick your own questions? Let's have one from over there anyway. Can I ask you to please keep questions short,
yes,
if you would?
I wish to commend the Prime Minister and the government on the exceptional work they're doing in these difficult circumstances. My question is, I'm currently being denied a Yugoslav passport by the decision of the Yugoslav army. I'm not the only Yugoslav national being denied this basic right. Can the Prime Minister promise that he will do everything in his power to stop the army interfering in such civil matters?
Cool. Please, can you wait for the microphone?
Mr. Djindjic, I'd like to ask you about the question of law. In my view, without law, there can be no liberty, there can be no freedom, and there can be no real basis of civilization. Now, it would appear that you broke the law, the constitution in Yugoslavia, by sending or being prepared to send people to The Hague, which is an organization which is not the International Court of Justice, but it may be completely unlawful. Now, that's... it surprises people here, I think more than you realize, that people wonder what you're up to.
Can maybe a questioner from up the top there? Can you just speak up a bit? Maybe the microphone's not on. Shout if it's not on. Even shout if it is on. Okay, one last question on this batch, anyway.
Thanks. I want to query the lack of a strategy. I thought the Southeast European Stability Pact was a European strategy. It doesn't include an exit strategy because the assumption, certainly the British assumption, is that we're not going to exit for a long time. The British came into this with... call it what you like. We came into this with the experience of Northern Ireland, where we deliberately did not say what the final outcome of Northern Ireland would be in terms of settlement, and the same is true in Kosovo, that one has to be prepared to allow some of the bitterness on both sides to settle, and maybe it is an informal protectorate with a long-term engagement and a commitment at the end that membership of the EU and of NATO is on offer at the end of a long process. That's my interpretation of the Southeast European Stability Pact. Is it yours?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Would you like to?
Yes, I like this kind of questions about broken laws, and I do that actually. And not only laws and constitution, of course. And the question for me is, would you say that some British soldiers broke the law by sending people from Auschwitz to freedom? Because it was against the law. In Nazi Germany, it was against the law to make these people free. According to the law, it was to have concentration camps, like how it's named. It was according to the law. And if you want to change something, you have to change something. You cannot keep the existing Milosevic system and then to change something. You cannot push the gas pedal and brake at the same time. We have some people in Serbia who push the brake and say, why we are not moving faster? You have to to change the things, and I agree, I said it many times. After we enter the United Nations, we have to respect the structures and organs of the United Nations, and Security Council of United Nations is an organ of United Nations, and the Hague Tribunal was set up by Security Council of United Nations. We can take another way and say we don't recognize that. We don't respect that. We want to be we want to be isolated. We don't be independent. But we saw that in the past. And this guy who promote this way is now in Hague, and his colleagues also. And I don't have any doubt about that. For me, it was technical question from the beginning: how to send them to Hague, not if, when, how. No conditionality. No conditionality. If you want to come to one goal, to goal, you have to go this way. This path to Europe is not just to sit down in Belgrade and to make philosophy about this goal. It's to hard work and try to come to this goal. And I'm committed, and my government, to fulfill all normal conditions which are necessary to come to European community. And not special requests, but normal, usual requests which are set for all other countries and societies. And indeed, we need not only laws, we need institutions able to protect the laws. And we have problems because we had 70 years without real institutions. We had institutions as facade, and then networks of personal power behind that. And now we are trying to give the institutions real power. We need people who want to do that, and we need people who want to respect that. And that is not easy, because that is process. And there is a link to the question about security sector reform control. Of course, that is the main and key question in each state is the status of these structures which do control the force, to have monopoly on physical force, and that is the army and that is the police. And we are doing a lot to reform the police, but the people are interested on incidents in this area, and the media are not reporting so much about that. But we have that. And we have experts supporting that. We have British experts for police reform working on that since months with our people. And we have now a package of laws which will be passed through Parliament in the next 2-3 months to reform the police in Serbia, security police, regular police. And we have a few problems in this regard. One is that we don't have enough people who want to work for police. That's too hard work, low salary. We cannot increase the salary because the population doesn't like that. See, police is something privileged in our society, was in the past, but with 200-300 German marks, £100 monthly salary, it is not so easy. It is difficult to send these people to fight against organized crime, to take the risk. Second is the bribe. The corruption is very, very widespread in our society, and it is a very, very tough job to clean up the system after 10 years and before that 40 years, and to have non-corrupt institutions and people. But we have the plans, and we have the clear vision what we want to do, and I think we are achieving some progress in this direction. We are preparing now the laws about civilian control, parliamentarian control of the army, and we have that maybe in this summer in Parliament, to have civilian control over the army. Our country, through these reforms, state reforms, will change the face, and in autumn or winter, we will have then chance as a Republican government, Republican parliament of the level of republic, to control budget for the army. And for me, that is the crucial control is financial control. If you have financial control, if you know what they are doing with the money, then we will know what they pay and what they are doing. All other kinds of control are control of results, of consequences. But financial, budgetary control is the substance of democracy. that the people, chosen people in parliament, can control what is done with the money from taxpayers. And we will have these two types of control. One is budgetary control, and second is control through parliamentary bodies for the army. And we will reform the army, and I hope we will not have the problems with the army in the future, others than the normal countries have with the army. No one wants to go to the army, but that is duty, and we don't want to have the country without army, but we don't want to have country depending on the army so much as in communism. We want to have normal army as normal European country, and we hope to have European joint military forces with our participation in the future, and then to have agreement about peace, stability in all Europe, and that no country in the Europe will need singular army. I hope that this time will come. And the question about exit strategy, yes, I agree. Europe doesn't have exit strategy. Europe intends to stay long time in this region. It is not necessary. It costs too much. And we offer you help to create this strategy. And first time in the history, I'm sure we can govern Balkan countries with the people from Balkan. We don't need other foreign forces to keep stability in the region. First time in the history, we can design exit strategy for military forces and security forces from Balkan, and the people in Balkan are able to govern themselves. And I think we should discuss that, and not just to close the eyes and say there are these 100,000 soldiers that are necessary there. We will pay that, and we will see what will happen. If we are waiting, what will happen? Different things can happen, and some of them are not very pleasant.
So another little batch of questions, hopefully with a few female questioners, if there are any. Yes, please, in the middle there.
A lady, I.
Well, maybe one or two ladies would be nice.
Yes.
Mr. Gingich, first of all, can I just say it's refreshing to hear something along these lines that not all of us that are even born here to Yugoslav parentage would just consistently boo what you have to say. What I'd like to ask you is, how do you engage those of us living abroad in the political process there, and how do you also stop those young people that are queuing day after day for visas outside the Canadian embassy? How do you encourage them not to do that and stay and put their skills and their brain power, if you like, into the Serbian and Yugoslav economies?
Many more lady questioners around.
I didn't read my speech. Why do you read your questions? Because you knew what you will ask me.
Yeah. Anyway,
answer very well. I'm very glad to answer you.
Why don't we just get a couple more?
Yes.
Maybe after.
Oh, thanks. It works. Mr. Prime Minister, I think I wouldn't be exaggerating if I were to say that at least at this moment, like 95% of Kosovo Albanians would support independence of Kosovo, ceding from Serbia. How do you intend to persuade these people that it is better for them, if it is better at all, to stay within Serbia? Do you have any strategy at all? And if you do, can you tell us what that strategy is? And one more thing, do you not think that the necessary precondition for this, for achieving this aim for us, would be that we have to come to terms with what Milosevic did, what atrocities he committed in Kosovo, Bosnia and Croatia during the wars between 1991 and 1999, in our behalf. Thank you.
Okay, one more question.
It's very similar to that question. Actually, I wanted to ask the Prime Minister to elaborate on the exit strategy and exactly tell us what is the solution that he sees for Kosovo as the most stable and long-term solution.
Yes, right. I have two questions regarding Kosovo. One, a personal internal Serbian question, NATO bombing where I was, and one very serious question I cannot answer in details, how to keep young people, young educated people in Serbia, and how to attract these young educated people to come back to Serbia. We have a strategy or concept for both projects, but it is very, very difficult, and it takes time. The final answer is to create conditions in Serbia itself for the young people to see the chance for themselves to have normal life, to can rent an apartment, to make holiday, to buy books, to live normal as the other young people do in Europe or in the democratic world. And it demands maybe $5,000 GDP annually. And it is more or less four times more than we have now. And we have to reach this level to create conditions for the people, for the middle class in Serbia, for the educated people in Serbia to stay in Serbia. But without these educated young people, we cannot reach this goal. And it is kind of paradox. We need these people to create conditions for that people. And my answer is always enthusiasm. Why I am in Serbia? As professor said, I was in Germany. I taught modern philosophy. And I didn't have any personal problem to come to Serbia and to resolve my problem. All my personal problems were resolved. And I was satisfied with my career. But it is not all in the life. If you have resolved your personal problems if you have a little bit more energy, then you should try to resolve the problem of community, of your country, to try to give this more of energy to other people. And I think if you are well educated, if you are young, then you have more energy than average people. Because 1 or 2% people are well educated in the world. It means you belong to this 2% of people. And your responsibility is much bigger than this 98% of people do have. I know it can be demagogy. But I think we have a real historical opportunity to make the normal place for living in this country, in Balkan. And that is the chance. And to participate on this big historical project is privilege. It's not just to sacrifice something. I see my position, my 15 hours daily walking as privilege, not as something what I give up for my family and me. Because it is not for each man now on the world possible to change the conditions and to make the life better for millions of people. And I invite you, young people from Serbia, to join this project. And I think it is worth. Of course, we are trying to support, but it is not so serious, financially support talented, educated people in the university to build houses and apartments for the young, talented people in some sectors in industry. But it is not. It cannot be the final reason. I know if you can earn $3,000-$4,000 in Canada or in Australia, with this $1,000 in Serbia or less, it is not to compare. If the money is the reason, we cannot give you a reason. But if you have other motives, we have enough to offer you as non-financial motives. NATO. I was in Montenegro half of this time. And it was 78 days NATO bombing. I was one day, a few hours in Germany by trying to, with President Djukanovic at this time, to find the way out with German Chancellor to design some kind of exit from this war. And it succeeded. In Bonn, Ahtisaari, Schroeder, and other people created agreements which ended the war. Not because of our initiative, but would you like to have the war still now? Yes, the question, but in the state television in Serbia, after 5-6 days after the war started, they broadcasted that I am in Germany. I was in Belgrade. And they proposed and suggested to take me citizenship because I am in Germany. But that is propaganda. And I hope we end this. It's over. I hope that is history. I don't think that we should discuss in this way the issues again, and to be disturbed by Milosevic terms and reasons and propaganda. I don't expect to hear that in London. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm naive. But I expect from you to understand.
Please be quiet, would you?
We have Mr. said we should respect the laws and the courts. And if the court in international court would say Mr. Blair is criminal, I would say I don't have anything with that issue. That is not my problem. That is the problem of the courts. If you set up a court, tell us. And then you are the state and you have the courts. But now the international community is an organization with the right to say who is war criminal or who not. And I am not going on to change the vote. I am going on to find a place for Serbia in this world. And this world is not justice. This world is reality. Like the climate. If you want to change the climate, to find the right climate for you, you should do that. But I will accept this climate. This climate is in London is maybe not nice. But you accept that. You adapt to this climate. Why don't you try to change the climate? You are so enthusiastic about that. You will change the world. You will change the climate. I wish you all the best. And Kosovo is a difficult problem. I would not take the risk now and say I have the concept. I would say we should change the approach. And what I do in Serbia is changing the approach, and not to speak about rights, not to speak about motives, not to speak about honesty, but to speak about consequences. Consequences for the majority of the people. Not to speak about morality, but to speak about reality. And I have difficulties in Serbia to promote this position, but that is my political position. To speak about real consequences, regardless of rights. Some people have idea that it's right, some people have idea that it's not right, but to speak, what will happen after that? And I tried to project what will happen. We'll have chain of disintegration, chain reaction of disintegration, and we will postpone our general idea to be part of Europe. And it will be very bad for Albanians, it will be very bad for Serbs, but for Albanians, more bad than for Serbs. Because Albanians would be isolated in these two, three states, without real neighbors, it will be very hard to find a way to Europe, unless they won't swim through Adriatic Sea, because Greece, Macedonia, Montenegro, Serbia would be not friends after this decision to do that unilaterally. They would not have neighbors to negotiate the joint politics. And I think the benefit to have neighbors and to negotiate the problems and resolve the problems on the way to Europe is more benefit than to have national state. I think national state doesn't matter in Europe in 21st century. National state is something from 19th century. And we missed the opportunity as nations, some of our nations in Balkan, to build national state in 19th century. And it is too late now. We should now think in the direction integration, not to separate ourselves and to build a national state. It takes, I know, it is difficult. It is easy to maybe not in this room, but in Europe it is easy to speak about that after 200-300 years of national states. It is easy to say, okay, we want European integration. But if you don't have national state, you think it is the best thing you can have. And to convince the people that to give up something what they don't have is not easy. But I think we should work on that. And if young Albanians understands what is benefit from European integration, I think we can convince other people also. Young people in Serbia convince their parents to vote against Milosevic. We won elections because of young people in Serbia. And I think that is good perspective.
I think we have to finish, do we not?
Yes. Yes.
Do you want one more question?
One final question.
You
but
choose,
positive,
you
please.
Choose,
we should
end. Sitting down here. Do you want to ask the final question?
Who has positive question? No one.
Positive answer.
I don't know if this is working. Yeah. I've heard that a truth commission has been set up. I've heard that a truth commission has been set up in the Republic. Could you tell us what exactly the mandate and ambitions for that are?
I think the model is South Africa discuss this sensitive issue of crimes and guilty and not to just to reduce it to courts and not to reduce it to Hague Tribunal and to try to bring this process to reconciliation through this involvement from all national groups in Serbia, in maybe former Yugoslavia, Muslims and Croats and Serbs, Albanians, and to understand that, that we are at the same time victims and what is other? Yes, and it's Freud would say it is very interesting. I know only victims. The word we feel ourselves in Balkans all as victims. Mm-hmm. No one would say we are not victims. And it is in the case we have 600,000 refugees in Serbia. How can you explain to the people that they are not victims? But other people feel themselves also as victims. And we have to sit down and say, okay, let us see, to personalize this crime. See, that is not nation to nation. That's persons to persons. I absolutely don't have anything with Milosevic's crime. I don't have any solidarity with him. I reject any link. I was on the Milosevic hit list. He wanted to kill me. Why should I now say he is indicted in Hague? It's stupid. Should personalize the responsibility and to try to make the nations free from this responsibility and to try to live further together. We are neighbors and we cannot just be Britain, Ireland. It's nice, but we are living in a continent. Okay, thank you.
Can I ask everyone please stay in your seats?
Mr. Mark, next time
will you please stay in your
seats
until
here.
The party is
I
left?
I think next time I will run elections here. I think it is not bad.
We got lots of experience of that here.